Have you been listening to the podcast and getting value from the show? If so, I've got a small favor to ask, because over the next few months, we're going to be making some changes to better serve you. Now, I could keep creating episodes based on what I think would be most helpful, but I would much rather get this right. So instead of guessing, I want to understand where you are right now and the real challenges you, your organization, and your team are facing. That's why I've put together a very short 90-second survey. It'll help me better understand you and how I can serve you at a much higher level. And as a thank you, the first 30 people who complete it will receive a free signed copy of one of our books. To take part, just go to the show notes and click the link titled Leadership Survey. Or you can go directly to letsgrowleaders.com/podsurvey. PODSURVEY. It'll take less than 2 minutes. I really appreciate your input. It will genuinely help shape the future of the show. Have you ever found yourself in the middle of a difficult challenge with thoughts like, what am I doing here? What was I thinking? I was thinking I could do this? Seriously? What if I can't make it? Welcome to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, a podcast helping human-centered leaders master communication to accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. I'm your host, David Dye, president of Let's Grow Leaders. Hey, welcome to the show. In this episode, we're going to talk about how to help yourself and your team to find that spark when you feel overwhelmed, wonder what you were thinking, and your truly important work feels out of reach. And if you're listening in real time, Happy New Year. It's the beginning of 2026 as we're recording here. And I want to start the year with a little inspiration that someone shared with me when I really needed it. When I found myself alone with my daughter on the side of a volcano in Central America. So how did we get there? Well, after she finished college, my daughter Avery moved to Guatemala, where she founded a socially conscious clothing and textile production company. And when I was able to take a week to visit her, she was very thoughtful. She knows I love to hike. She said, hey, there's a big volcano down here. We should hike up it. Well, I'm always up for a hike and a good time with my children. So I said, sure. She signed us up, then emailed back with the details. And I found out, oh, this is not a day hike. It's an overnight hike, a guided backpacking experience. There were a lot of medical forms and liability waivers. Well, okay, follow the music. Got to spend some time with my daughter. This is going to be awesome. And that's how I found myself on the side of this Central American volcano. So we spent this day trudging up the volcano, carrying these heavy backpacks. Mine weighed 50 pounds. I was also older than everyone else in the group by at least 10 years. This was a activity for people in their 20s and 30s, apparently. I asked if there was a backpack weight reduction based on age, but they just laughed. So we spend the day climbing through ash-enriched fields of coffee, flowers, avocados, through a cloud rainforest, and into this dry ghost forest of ash-choked trees that had been killed by an old eruption. And we set up camp about 1,000 feet below the summit. And the plan was we had all carried up, you know, portions of the tent and our sleeping bags and all, and so we were going to bunk up, get a good night's sleep, get up really early, and then reach the summit in time for a beautiful sunrise. And I'm thinking, sleep's going to come so easy after all that hiking and carrying that big, heavy backpack. But that was not the case. My daughter and I ended up, I was sandwiched between my daughter on the left and two strangers, a couple from Brazil who were on my right. They were pretty nice. At least I think they were nice. Whatever they said was in Portuguese, it sounded nice. They smiled when they said it. But all four of us were cocooned in these borrowed sleeping bags in that tent below the summit of Acatenango, the name of the volcano. I was exhausted, but I could not fall asleep. Couple from Brazil, no problem. Sleep in minutes. So I finally do conk out about 1 in the morning. It's 1 a.m. 3 hours later, at 4 a.m., there's a light shining in the window of the tent and a gruff voice, the guide, calling, it's time to go. Let's go. Let's go. So by 4:30 in the morning, Avery and I are hiking up a steep incline in the dark on a crumbling trail through this foot-deep, powdery volcanic sand. It was rough. Every step was a torturous effort trying to find a foothold before you slid back down the slope. Oh, and I had left my flashlight in the tent. Then Avery and I get separated from the rest of our group. They all go off ahead of us. So we're hiking up that steep, sandy slope, mostly in the dark, for a couple hours. And I'll tell you, despite all the mountains I've hiked, that was the most grueling, mentally challenging ascent I've ever done. Like trails in the U.S., they use switchbacks to ease the pain of elevation gain and to manage erosion. But that kind of trail design really hadn't found its way to Guatemala mountaineering yet. So and the lack of food and the lack of sleep hadn't agreed with me either. And that's when I found myself wondering, you know, what am I doing here? What was I thinking that I could do this? And what's going to happen if I can't make it? Every person whoever chooses to do or be something more, if you've chosen leadership, you have chosen that journey. If you choose to do or be something more or different than you are now, you're going to experience those doubts. It's part of the price you pay. And so, you know, by 5:30 in the morning, about 12,500 feet, Avery and I were completely alone. My nose was clogged with dust. I had no idea how much farther we had to go or how difficult the trail would become. Avery was really struggling too. And so she's picking out the trail ahead of us with her flashlight. She'd stop, shine the light, look for the footprints of people who'd climbed up the sandy trail before us. Then we'd scramble, oh, I don't know, another 20, 30 feet, stop, catch our breath, do it again. And Avery hadn't slept too well that night either. Apparently, I can snore. I mean, the Brazilian couple didn't say anything about it, just saying. But she wasn't feeling very good either. And so it was just rough. And finally, she says, you know what? Stop talking to me. I don't want you to encourage anymore. Just stop talking to me. I'm like, hey, this was your idea. So we trudge on in silence for a while, our spirits flagging. And that's when a guide came along. He was from some other group, and he was just running up the mountain. He was Guatemalan, obviously accustomed to trekking up and down the mountains. And as he passed us, he smiled, waved his hand in a huge, cheery arc of greeting, completely at odds with the expression on our faces. He smiles, and he says, poco a poco, and then he was gone. His smile, his 0% body fat legs floating over the mountains like it was nothing. Poco a poco, that's little by little, or one step at a time. I often think of his poco a poco whenever I'm feeling overwhelmed, whenever I'm feeling that sense of, gosh, what am I doing here? Can I really do this? I don't know if I'm going to make it. Whatever challenge you face, poco a poco will help. Look at the path immediately in front of you. Find the tracks of the people who have gone before and take the next few steps. You don't have to know all the answers. You don't have to know how everything's going to turn out. You don't have to know how to do everything that you're going to be called upon to do. And I don't suggest that as you take that one next step, I don't suggest that the work's going to be easy. Leadership is not easy. You've heard me say, if you've been listening to the show for a while, leadership is not if problems, it's which problems. It's not if you're going to have problems, it's which problems are you choosing to have. Avery and I didn't talk to each other for an hour or more while we were there laboring up the rim of that Acatenango volcano. And at times the trail was so steep, I would literally take three steps, get my footing, and then stop to breathe. But we made it, and so will you. And one thing I can promise, the view from where you're heading is worth the work to get there. I'll tell you that that was easily the most spectacular sunrise I have ever seen in my life. There were a blanket of clouds below us enveloping that cloud rainforest that we'd hiked through. Volcanoes poked through the clouds. Some of them off in the distance were spewing ash and smoke from these ongoing eruptions. And that sunrise illuminating all of it. The journey will change you. And you'll know that you've done it. And you'll know you can do it again. Poco a poco. One foot in front of the next. One step at a time. You can help your team with poco a poco by helping them break down whatever the big work you're trying to do. What are the specific day-to-day habits? What needs to happen this next half hour? Instead of looking at the whole, how can you look at the smallest chunk possible and help people build momentum by doing that? Then they'll know they've done it and can do it again. So there's a little New Year's inspiration for you and your team. And I hope that as you listen, as you implement these skills, you are having those moments of wondering, gosh, can I really do this? Because that means you're on the right track. It means you're growing. It means you're making a difference. And you're on your way to being the leader you'd want your boss to be. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of these practical communication skills that'll help you accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. And thanks, as always, for our producer and sound engineer, Brooke Bradford over at Sheep and Space Digital Business Services, and Laura at Bruck Marketing for their work on this episode. I'll see you next time.
The UPS Store is making packing and shipping Easter gifts quicker than ever this year with UPS Air. How quick? Quicker than a walk around the park. Quicker than eating all the Easter candies. Quicker than finding a golden egg that you know is stuffed with cash. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS Store, your items arrive on time or your money back. Guaranteed at no extra cost. Exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Send Easter joy on time at the UPS Store. Visit theupsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.